All right, everybody, what's up? Welcome to the Chapman and Randy Show. Okay, so this was originally going to be a Independence Day kind of, I guess, review. And then I got the idea of having all the bands from Freedom Fest come on. So Randy and I reached out to all the bands, and we've had them all on so far. This being the episode with Rearview Mirror, so thanks, brothers. As far as Independence Day, though, because we can't talk about the movie from the 90s, which was epic back in the day, without going in and talking to you guys about the music that you guys play. In the 90s, when that movie came out, that was fucking epic, dude. Like, when Independence Day came out, it was almost, like, scary. Because, I mean, I was, like, freshman year, 8th grade, probably. Maybe 7th grade.
What was that, 94, 95?
Yeah, yeah.
So 96, it's 20 years.
96?
Okay, so I was, like, an 8th grade freshman. So what was crazy about it is that...
I was saying, 5 years out of high school...
Is it like it was kind of not scary, but it was intense, man. It had you on the edge of your seat, right? You know what I mean? But the sequel comes out in the first trailer, and I'm just fucking, ugh, it's gonna suck. And this guy went to go see it, so
am I the only one in the room that saw this?
Fucking yeah, movie? I haven't seen it.
Yeah. So tell me just how bad it sucked.
If you look at the box office totals, it would go, if we did the percentages here and figured out the math, it would be the fact that I was the only one who saw it, because Finding Dory beat its ass.
I told you, which I told you 2 weeks ago.
I saw Finding Dory, though. That was awesome.
I watched it for free last night.
My kids have seen it. I haven't seen it.
It's fucking terrible. Don't
No, Dory. I can't remember the first Independence Day.
Really?
Yeah, I was all about Armageddon and Men in Black. Yeah, I remember it, but it wasn't like a life-changing movie to me. I remember Armageddon and Men in Black, you know what I mean? But yeah.
So what was bad about the new Independence Day?
Well, first it started, and that was bad. And then it was worse. The best part is when you saw the words at the end of it. Like, that was the coolest part. Dude, it's fucking terrible. I mean,
it's like they tried way too hard.
Don't watch the shit. Don't watch it, because you'll hate the first one.
Here's what blows my mind about it. It's like it takes place, because the time frame's the same, so it's 20 years ago.
Right.
It took 12 years to rebuild the World Trade Center. Okay, just to rebuild one fucking building,
you're going with
dude.
The same problems that I have.
It took
with
12
it.
Years to rebuild one fucking building. In the movie, the original one from the 90s, you had 11 fucking ginormous ships over L.A., New fucking Hong Kong, all over the place. It blows D.C. out the fucking water. I mean, that was the epicness of that movie.
There was one in Africa, and I can't understand why, but all right.
Diamonds.
I mean, what'd they blow up?
Fucking diamonds, dude.
okay.
So they...
There was that dude from Lethal Weapon 2.
They supposedly rebuilt all these cities in 20 years, and then built a fucking moon base, which they fly planes back and forth. It's just the logic of it was bullshit, and then...
You want to get into logic? Okay, here's the logic. Okay. We have all this technology that we have planes that look like the new Raptor planes, and they can take off and fly to the moon. It's cool. They've got these new laser type propulsion guns, and it's all propulsion drive shit. But Judd Hirsch is in it, David's father, and he gets way more Jewish and like way more stereotypical as the movie goes. Like, oh my David! Like halfway through the movie, he's like holy shit! This is like a bad Seinfeld character.
He's really good in Sharknado. Did you guys see Judd Hirsch in Sharknado?
No.
When he tried to jump off the taxi.
I never watched Shark Week either.
There's no way.
I don't have cable.
But apparently he is back.
The Wayans brothers can't spoof this fucking movie. Like, they can't make a disaster. But, so they have all this propulsion, all these weapons, all this new shit. They have moon bases that have big fucking lasers on it. And
do they have sharks with freaking lasers?
They should have. Dude, I haven't even got to the point where a Pokemon comes up and saves the fucking world, and I'm not bullshitting. So, dude, I'm not fucking lying.
So there you have it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But John Hurst spends the entire, like, half of the movie in a school bus, a 70s school bus, but we have all this propulsion, all this laser shit, and this asshole's driving around in a short bus, dude. Like, and people are stuck in traffic jams, but they have flying other shit.
So there's no logic in the technology.
He must have taken Randy Quaid's school bus from the first one.
Right.
Did he inherit that one?
Yeah.
Okay. Basically, and they tried to recreate everything from that movie. Will Smith is dead.
Oh, that sucks. But his son is there, right?
Right.
Yeah, his son's like one of the
main
characters.
You want the aliens to fucking win. Like, you're like, I hate everybody in this movie.
That was a review that I read, too. It said Independence Day wants you to root for the aliens. I mean, it just...
My wife heard me the entire movie going, ugh, fuck, ugh. Like,
but,
I mean...
But Jeff Goldblum.
Have you seen the Facebook page where all it is every day is the same picture of Jeff Goldblum?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it posts it every day. It posts it every day. That's all they do.
No. It's him posing, like doing something.
I've seen it. Anyways, but the movie in itself is just fucking garbage.
It's racist, for one, because you have the Jewish stereotype. Then you have, okay, we have these flying cars. We have these flying guns. For one, why are the UN guys rolling around in old 1990s
the same picture of Jeff Humvees
when we have
every day every day same picture.
You see that?
Did you guys see Peter Dinklage on a scooter?
Yes, I did see that.
That
is awesome.
But same picture of Jeff Goldblum every day,
and it's a Facebook page. You gotta go check it out.
That's how you know how to work your shit. If you have to stay with a bit though, you never change it, and that's how you do it, and that is
every day. It's the same shit.
At least you're not disappointed.
But I thought we'd open up with that, man, because the 90s were fucking awesome. I was born in 82.
There's some copiers right there, too. Same picture.
The same photo.
Really quick, let me finish with that movie.
Kim Jong
about the 90s. You remember when you found out that Santa Claus didn't exist and the Tooth Fairy was bullshit and all this, and then you like looked at the world differently for like 3 days and you hated your parents and you wanted, like, your childhood was ruined? Yeah, that's what happens in the 90s in about an hour and a half in this fucking shit show.
It's not the 90s anymore, man, but there was a lot of cool shit about the 90s. I don't know if you guys go on Chive or not, but every now and then Chive will post a photo album of, like, cool shit from the 90s. This is funny.
That's pretty good.
The 90s were cool. I mean, I was born in 82, so, like, my childhood was in the 80s, but my adolescence, middle school, junior high, was in the 90s, so a lot of the music from then is really what kind of, because, you know, you change from a child to, like, teens and to the person you're going to be during that time frame. So Rage Against the Machine, Tool, Soundgarden, the Seattle music scene that I know Randy's really big into.
Absolutely.
All that music really hit home, and that's when I was, like, going through puberty and making out with chicks and smoking my first weed and stealing fucking tequila. I mean, like, the fun years, the wonder years, right? I mean, it was good times. And that's pretty much what you guys play. So you guys want to introduce yourselves real quick and just kind of talk about what your band's all about.
I'm Rico. I sing.
Josh, play drums.
I'm Tommy. I play guitar.
Jeremy, play guitar.
And we're missing Gary, our bass player.
We're about the 90s music. That's what we're about.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what brought us all together. That's what we bonded over.
But there's
over.
Two types of 90s music, though.
Sure.
There's the type we play, and then there's the other stuff. Victor Wooten.
Yeah, you're talking about
Jim Blossoms.
None of that, dude.
I got the backing tracks for it. Don't get me wrong. We can pull it off.
It could be done.
But
it can be done.
Blind Melon. You don't do none of that.
I respect. Love Blind Melon.
Yeah,
but it doesn't really fit in our repertoire.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're more hard on the hard rock stuff.
You don't have a bus and heroin, and you don't want to do Blind Melon.
I've heard a lot of good things about the guitar playing in Rearview Mirror, which is before I even had thought of even putting together Freedom Fest, before I brought it up to Randy, before any of this was an idea, I had heard about you guys. I had heard about the guitar playing in this band. So, because a lot of the songs from that genre, to be able to go from Rage to Soundgarden, because Kim from Soundgarden, lead guitarist dude, I mean, he's fucking awesome.
Well, even despite the guitar playing, you got to listen to what the guitars are doing. Even the drums, right. Even the bass, everything. It's not your standard run-of-the-mill music. We're all over the place, man.
Like you were saying with Jim Blossoms and stuff, that's all stuff. I love all that stuff, the kind of popular edge stuff, but it took the five of us being together to be able to pull a lot of these off. I mean, especially some of the Tool songs we do, some of the Soundgarden and stuff. Those are complex arrangements, man. Those guys, that was probably like the last great era of music where you had true musicians making real music that
coming
mattered.
Together. Yeah, I don't even know what this shit is now today.
Bullshit, we've got Psy now.
He called it.
You know, I don't know what like 15-year-olds do today. When I was 15, it was 1990. Mm-hmm. I was 15 years old, and every fucking month it seemed like there was some fucking band you've never heard before. What the fuck is this? You didn't know if you liked it or not. You know, it took you a fucking year, like, man, that's pretty cool shit. Or today I figure out, man, I actually like that band. And I can say, oh, I fucking hated him. But there was just so much cool shit. Just
you don't have that.
Blam, 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 blam everywhere.
He calls it perfect. What do you call the music nowadays they play on Crab Radio?
I don't fucking even know. What
well,
the fuck
Storming
is that?
The Castle Irish.
It's like Renaissance
music.
Fair
well,
shit.
Well, you have
dude.
A band like Soundgarden. You got four dudes in a band. You probably got two songwriters in mm-hmm. the band, right? You have all this shit that's on the radio now that has a four-member band, but you probably have 20 songwriters. You have 15 producers. Oh, you have so many people working on this music that it takes, you know, $500,000 to produce one song.
Well, you've got the fucking Rihanna song or a Beyonce song that has 8 words in it, and you look, and there's 17 fucking writing credits.
Yeah, it's like that meme that was out with Freddie Mercury. You know, take one dude to write Bohemian Rhapsody, which is one of the greatest songs ever.
Right.
And then you have, like, 25 writers that are doing
Beyonce.
I don't even know one of her songs.
Well, I watched Headbangers Ball, bub.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, with Ricky Rapp.
I grew up watching Headbangers Ball.
So did I, man.
That was the highlight of my fucking Saturday.
Well,
right there,
hey, mister,
right.
to get beer.
That's right.
Oh, wait.
No, hey, mister. Daddy got it for you.
Well, my mom will go get it as long as we stay at the house, you know what I mean?
My parents would bail to Vegas every weekend and leave me and my buddies at my house, and after we refilled all the vodka bottles with water, we had to go fucking hey, mister, it up for beer until we got that one friend about our junior year who ended up looking like he was 35 that could buy us beer everywhere. So
well, when I was in high school, it was the pot dealer. He was always over 21. So, you do him a favor, you know, he does you a favor and buys you some beer. And then
yeah, he's
you know.
Already on the fringes of morality.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
We would drive to East 3rd. We would go down Union, make a right on East 3rd into the ghetto, and there was this little fucking market, and this old man would sell to us, but we were buying Natty Light for like $20. Yeah.
No,
I mean, it wasn't
all
like
about
we were
Mickey's,
getting
man.
Mad Dog.
Mickey's when you're young.
Yeah, yeah.
Flower Street. And,
you guys old enough to remember the 99-cent Schlitz? Oh, fuck.
Fucking A, dude. What are you talking about?
Schlitz, Ice House.
Aftershark. You know,
poor white trash kid, bub. We drank that shit like water, dude.
Well, like, everybody.
We used to sit at Grissom Park. In the fog.
Whatever.
We'd sit at Grissom Park in the fog drinking fucking Schlitz as the cops drove by us, and we'd just sit still because it was so fucking foggy they couldn't see us. Or we'd hide underneath the park benches and they'd just drive right by and we'd be like the entire time.
Who went to West High around here? Did anybody go to West High?
Yep.
Patriots Park is all I could say. That was the wildest fucking place you could think about.
Was that the spot back in the day?
Oh, yeah. Dude, 2-for-1 or 2-for-5, 2-for-5, 5-for-1. 2-for-5 was the Hooters. One fucking hit of acid was $5. So you ditched fucking school, one got you hit of acid and a couple fucking Hooters, came back, didn't remember what the fuck happened 7th, 8th period, and just fucking bounced, dude. It was
he's
great.
Talking about slur cans. He's talking about acid.
All right, let's get back to the 90s and the music and all that shit we listened to over Patriots Park on acid.
But
smoking our
speaking of Patriots,
look at how the music, but that, look at how it's this conversation went from the music in the 90s to like that kind of behavior, which was fun at the time. It was fun. I mean, dude, smoking weed and stealing alcohol, that was the shit. And then listening to, I mean, you'd have, like, I'd have my friends over, we'd spend the night, hang out, and we'd listen to fucking MTV, Headbangers Ball.
Right. Sure.
MTV played music, right?
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
And, music channel.
And
television channel.
And there'd be bands, and it skateboarding in the garage, we'd be able to fucking ramps, whatever the fuck we were doing. It was, I mean, you can actually listen to Crab Radio and be like, cool, there's some cool bands playing. And then, you know, Sublime kind of came around, and it's like, around that time, music just, and Metallica came out with Load, and it was like, what the fuck are you guys doing? You know, and I'm a diehard, I'm loyal, but even.
I like the painting thing from the box
set. From the box set, yeah.
Justin
Ferrell box set.
Right
there. That's the original one. I got that when I was in eighth grade.
Got the VHS tapes in it?
Yep, yeah, and it's been through some shit. It's gone everywhere with me, but it's still kicking. That's Lars's drug.
The last album was
Saint Anger.
Wrong. I've been trying to argue that for 20 fucking years now.
I don't know.
The last album, the black one was okay, but
Death Magnetic was all right. I liked it.
Yeah.
It right. I liked it. But
you guys said Headbangers Ball and MTV. What about 120 Minutes?
Oh, yeah.
That's where
you
were. Like,
sure.
You know,
that's when
no,
they played
MTV. Even raps. After that, there was The Box. You remember The Box?
Was that where you could call up and request videos?
We used to go, and people would have a house party, and all I'd do is grab their phone and just start dialing up shit. So, after we left and the party got busted or whatever,
what
you could go
on.
Home and flip it on and, like...
All your shit's playing.
Yeah.
There
it took 4 hours.
But, 120 minutes was cool, dude. I mean, they...
Was that MTV or
even
VH?
The kids that were into
like,
metal...
They broke Nirvana and shit, like a lot of that.
I just missed it. I remember when they had Woodstock in 99, and I was
fucking I remember 94. I remember that.
That's what it was. Yeah, because I was in 7th grade, and I was... Yeah. I was
on pay-per-view. We got it on pay-per-view at this chick's house, man.
Yes,
because I remember Nine Inch Nails set was the shit with all the mud slinging and all that.
Well, that was Primus set.
That was crazy. Oh,
Green Day, too. Remember
the Green Day, the mud fight.
Yeah, Green Day had just...
Oh, it was Green Day. It was just Reznor came out covered in mud for Nine Inch Nails set. That's what it was.
Somebody recently tagged me in a picture from junior high, and it was like, I don't know, some picture we all took, and I'm wearing this fucking Green Day hat, and I'm thinking I'm all cool and shit. I used to love Green Day, and then
they're cool, man.
I mean, it was
Dookie
cool.
Dookie was badass.
Yeah, Dookie absolutely. Was the album.
Yeah, cool, now you want to talk about the last album that somebody ever produced? That was Green Day's last album.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one I like. Yeah, I thought that whole album was fucking cool. I
Offspring. I remember
it's a happy album.
My mom bought me the Offspring album.
Don't bring up the Offspring, dude.
You don't like them?
Go ahead.
Okay, so the Offspring album, when it came out, my mom bought me the edited one, and she didn't know, but all my friends had the unedited one, because there was that one song that ended with some shit like, "You stupid goddamn bullshit motherfucker." Yeah. Remember that song? And
stupid.
I hated it because I didn't have that, so I had to fucking like swim
to it. It's
the
first song on the album. It's
wasn't it?
Bad Habit.
Yeah, Bad Habit. And I still got the bass line in my head. But yeah, so what's your deal with the Offspring?
I don't know, man. I don't really know how to take them.
That was a great album, dude.
It's a mixture of their songs. I don't think they were really true to one style,
big in the punk scene before they broke out?
I think so. The whole Orange County kind of.
Sugar Ray, when they did that shit, like, they were Sugar Ray was a punk.
He just
wants to
die. I don't know.
You know,
and then
same thing with Green Day, too. They kind of, you know, they had those first two independent albums.
They fucking kicked, though, dude.
Yeah, and then Dookie came out, and they were kind of sold out from the punk scene. Same thing with Offspring, man. They were big in the punk scene.
Hey, but regardless.
But, hey, dude, they made
American Idiot was a statement, though, dude. I mean, that was a great produced album. It was a great concept album in a time where people weren't making concept albums, you know. Floyd wasn't around anymore, so.
Kisses the Elder failed.
Yeah.
That was a badass album.
I love that album. One of my favorite Kiss albums, and I fucking fight people over it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, but that's more. You can't compare Mastodon in stature in a pop culture setting to Green Day because. Every kid knows who Green Day is.
Being such a big Metallica fan, I mean, I was turned on Metallica at like 10, and I was hooked. I mean, I was hooked. My uncle was, because he played them for me, and then he...
Was that like 5 years ago?
No, it was. It was, actually. You know. So my uncle was cool, because he showed them for me. I was like 10 years old, and then he busted out his guitar and was like, watch, I could play this. And he's like, it's just three simple chords, and I thought it was the fit. So the next big band that kind of came out, and I guess what I was turned on to, was Rage Against the Machine. And I don't know what it was. I think it was Tom Morello's guitar playing. I think it was the music videos. I think it was the album cover. Looking back, I know what it was. It was all the talk about like freedom and all that shit that like hit me real hard. But the style is what really is.
You know what got me, man? Rage Against the Machine, the first album came out. Everything was good. But after that, the Ghost of Tom Joad video came out.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're playing in Russia, you know this one.
Yeah.
But the entire concert where they're playing in Russia, you kind of get a. I mean, it's kind of weird to see.
Was that the Cuba show? Was it Cuba or Russia?
It was Russia.
Was a Cuba one too.
There was a couple
the one
concerts
you're talking
on
about
there, but
playing
there's like
Russia, dude.
Yeah, there's like 3,000 people out there, and they're just, you know, sitting on the stage, simple stacks, you know, no big stage presence or anything, just playing songs, and people are enjoying it. So you think about the music one way, but you think about the music the way that the people actually react to it. And that's what kind of brought me on a little bit more to Rage Against the Machine, how much it affected people.
Well,
the music, I mean, not just the lyrics, but actually the music part of it.
And the movement that comes with it. That's why Prophets of Rage is out, and, you know, they're doing their thing right now with Public Enemy.
I can't wait for that to come out.
Holy shit, dude. Like, that show, I knew there was no way I was going to catch it in L.A., but I know it's coming back around later in the summer, and I'll be there. We should actually get a big group and go. I'm all about it.
That'd be
But that band came, and I just couldn't get enough of them. That, I mean, and every Evil Empire came out, bam, had it. All their albums, I mean, I would play that shit in the morning before school, and it would just set my pace for years, for like 3-4 years, man. It was like every fucking day, Rage Against the Machine, and then they just fell off the map.
Well, do you remember the black and red VHS that came out that was a concert?
Absolutely,
like,
I
still have it at the house.
Is
that the one that came with a CD, like the VHS?
Yeah, it came with the CD of Ghost of Time.
That's what I'm talking about, yeah.
You're talking about Battle Los Angeles. Is that what you're talking about?
No.
It was before Evil Empire.
It was before Evil Empire. It has the video for People of the Sun.
Yeah, I think.
That
was a Tom Jones single, I remember. I worked in a record store.
Yeah, it had a couple of those songs. Yeah.
You know, the first, after 18 years old, the next 8 years of my life revolve around what came out what year, you know?
Didn't he look like he had that crowd where he could have just marched an army and took over the country?
Oh, yeah, man.
A lot of the artists from the 90s, these frontmen are just, they're just iconic. You don't have that
absolutely.
Anymore. You really don't have that anymore, dude. You don't. Yeah. I mean, you really don't, and it sucks because I think that leads the band in a direction that's kind of powerful. Because then you got the musicians behind them that are just setting this powerhouse in motion. That today you just don't have it. And yeah, even with Kiss and Metallica, I mean, you got it too. But it just sucks. So I love what you guys are doing because the way Freedom Fest is gonna be set up with Il Tempo opening, kind of getting the crowd going, and then you guys are gonna be doing your set. And I don't even want to know what you guys are going to play. I mean, I thought about asking you guys, but,
We're got the set yet, Rico?
Yeah, we have it completely. Okay. So. Yeah.
It's up to you guys. But
yeah, I sent it to Jeremy and everything.
I think the crowd is just, it's just perfect. It's really perfect to have you guys there and just fucking play a lot of songs that people are going to enjoy, man. And
they're redoing a Nirvana Unplugged set.
No, that's tomorrow night. Or Wednesday. That's what we're doing Wednesday.
Well, fuck.
But yeah, I saw that. You guys are doing an acoustic set.
Are you shitting me?
No, yeah, we're not doing.
I was going to say, because I'm going to tell you what. There's a fuck.
Hey, but that's one thing that we've discussed as well is how much, going back to MTV, how big MTV Unplugged was in the 90s. Pearl Jam did it. Stone Temple Pilots did it.
Even Bon Jovi, for Christ's sake.
Well, yeah, I mean. Alice in Chains was pivotal.
Probably
that was pivotal in my life.
Yeah,
Nirvana one's great, though.
Pearl Jam was a little bit more electric, but with the drums.
Yeah, they were for the Alice in Chains, that's right. Friends don't let friends cut friends' hair.
Yeah,
played the intro to
Enter Sandman, that's right. Mike Inez started playing it. Mike Inez, between songs, starts playing the bass line to Enter Sandman during the show.
I forgot what song it is. I think it's like...
They were just recording Load. It hadn't been released yet, and they went to go watch that show. Because I think all the mixing was done in New York. So they went to New York, and then that's where that show was. Or Los Angeles. Don't quote me on that.
It was in New York.
It was New York, right? Yeah. Wasn't it New York? I thought so. Okay, good. So they're in the audience, like in the... What do you call the things like... the fucking...
Balcony
seats and shit. And he wrote that on his guitar. It said, "Friends don't let friends cut their hair." But that album right there, I don't drink. I quit drinking 11 months ago. But I would get fucking shit-faced every night, almost, it seemed, and watch that.
I feel like it.
Watch that. Why? No, don't.
Well,
trip.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone drinks around me. Don't even trip. But that Alice in Chains Unplugged album is probably one of the best Unplugged albums of all time.
Well, you remember a couple years ago when you came over to my house and we were cooking turkeys and deep-frying turkeys in the backyard, and we got...
What
time did you come
up.
Over? 9 o'clock in the morning and got shit faced with that album, Unplugged album, fucking off my computer as loud as.
I just wish that there was a revolution in music that it can bring stuff back.
There's not anymore, bro.
There's not, and it sucks.
I don't hear it in rock music, period.
You know what? My wife, she listens to XM radio. She listens to
Pandora.
Alternative, Sirius XMU. There's a couple of good bands, but everything's so polished and so neat.
Yeah.
There are so many hands, like we were talking about earlier, there's so many hands on it these days that you can't really, there's no originality to it.
They don't have their own
identity. Well,
but we're just, you're talking just strictly in a pop format. There's bands out there doing it.
They're
just
not selling
out.
I know you're a genius and you listen to, extra stuff. I'm talking about mainstream stuff.
Yeah, mainstream stuff,
Soundgarden were mainstream.
Sure, absolutely.
I'm talking about the mainstream stuff nowadays. It's just
my attention span is too short and there's too much to find for me to go look online to spend the hours to go,
I was doing that the other night looking at new metal scenes because I love my metal. Even some of the bands, there's a lot of badass bands coming out of like Norway and shit. But it's different. It's cool and I like
it. You like
and I
metal?
Dig it. Well, yeah, but there's like this Viking metal and shit. There's this band.
Going a little white supremacy.
Amon Amarth and shit.
That's a trip though, because that's our roots.
Yeah,
I mean,
we like that.
Jeremy and Tommy and I have been playing together for 14 years.
Really, really?
Yeah. How many bands? Three bands?
Four. Yeah. Fluid OZ, American Standard,
and
Mother Puncher.
Yeah. So that's
I know those bands. I mean, I know you guys, and without like knowing from hanging out, shit.
Yeah, it's and that's where our roots are. So that's where they're
up shit. No one wants to listen to.
Yeah, that's where they're technical. You know, you have a lot of people talk about the guitar players. That's where it comes from. Their technical ability, and they've been playing together for so long, and I've been playing together with them for so long that everything's just kind of gels together. It's just kind of second nature the way we play.
Yeah, and you throw Gary in there with that.
Well, yeah, Gary's just
a great singer that can actually sing as opposed to just scream over everything.
Yeah, see, and I dig that. And a lot of the new metal bands I was checking out, they didn't really have that per se. I mean, or there'd be a band that would have like amazing guitars, but then it's like the vocals would just be shit. And you know,
that old Eddie Van Halen shit. It was great. That's my favorite shit. That's what I like. Yeah. I like Van Halen and Van Halen and Van Halen. But that shit fucking is over with, bro. I mean, he's been mimicked and copied and this and that so many fucking times, and everybody's tried to do this and this. Okay, it's a group effort. It has to be a group effort.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Because
there's some little fucking 13-year-old kid in this room right now that will smoke me beyond fucking belief playing guitar, and I've been playing for 20 fucking something years, will just annihilate me. But there's fucking 3 million of those little motherfuckers watching YouTube fucking learning fucking Yingbae riffs and shit or whatever the fuck they do.
Yeah, that's another thing, dude, is that kids learn shit.
And it's cool because the kids are great now. Don't get me wrong. I see them, dude. I'm envious of them. I look at them.
We didn't have YouTube.
Fuck, I wish I could do that.
From.
But there's the creativity, the authenticness to it is just like, it's
all
dried up, man.
You remember
originality.
You're not doing that, and it ain't never been done.
And do you remember the music stores, the Sam Goody's? You'd go all the way to the back, and they would have the guitar and the bass books. I never played an instrument in my fucking life, but I'd open them up, and I'd be like, "Oh, that'd be kind of be a cool tattoo one day, like to get fade to black."
Going back to Rage, Tom Morello is probably like the last guitar hero we've had. I mean, who's come along that just singular one guy like Eddie or like Hendrix or fucking
Joe Bonamassa?
Yeah, but that mainstream, absolutely. But that's
You know who was badass? He was a piano player. He did that thing at the Grammys with Metallica. Was that Ting Ting Chinese guy? Did you see at the Grammys when Metallica played one with that dude? You should check it out.
What, he was a kid, wasn't he? Wasn't he young? He's like 12 or 14 or something?
Yeah, Korean kid. And
yeah, it's fucking way out, man.
I can never find it because I have to type in Metallica. So
Metallica?
It's fucking Metallica. Yeah, he's a hater. It's all good. No, it's cool. Freedom Fest is going to be a good show, man. The thought when we came up with the idea was to just do it for Freedom America, you know, have a big party. But the bands had to be... I mean, because we don't know a whole lot of bands because we've just started kind of getting out there. But the bands that we knew, we wanted to make sure that it was a good show. So I think you guys are fun just sitting here, man. I can imagine what Saturday is going to be like. It's going to be fucking epic. It's going to be fun, dude. It's going to be a fucking good time, man. I think it's going to be great.
Well, one thing we've got is with Rico singing all this other stuff, and we've got August who goes, like, covers all the. We've got probably the two most versatile singers in town by far that can cover different ranges and do different, you know, different stuff.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. Cause not
fucking
all
Aviators are cool, too.
They're fun. Have you guys ever played with them?
Hell yeah.
Dude, forgive me, because we're just now 7 months into getting out there and kind of getting our feet wet in Bakersfield. But
I haven't sat through a whole show of one of theirs yet, but from everybody that I talk to that I like respect that actually has good taste for, you know, what I think's good taste, whatever. They're all, it's a fucking great show. You gotta watch these guys.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
You ever seen
rock
that?
And roll,
you ever seen the cow belt?
Yeah, oh, now you're the one that told me about the cow. I wanna fucking see it, but we always get too fucked up and we gotta leave.
They're fun.
Slicker. I mean, he's a ball of
it. Was he? Yeah. Just turned 21, right?
Yeah. Just turned 21. He joined the band, I think they said, when he was like
15.
He was
18. Yeah. Oh,
15
yeah.
or some shit. And so when I got out the Army, I told this fucking story 1,000 times, but I moved into this house, and Sherwin was living across the street. Oh, really? And I'm moving in the first weekend, and I'm hanging out in my garage. My wife's mother lives right around the corner, so I know the neighborhood well. And all of a sudden, Will walks up. He's like, "Hey, man, is that Metallica you're playing?" And he had known my buddy Gabe, and so it's small world, Bakersfield. And next thing you know, I just started hooking up with them and, you know, drinking beer with them till fucking 3 a.m. and just learning about his guitar skills. Which, I mean, the energy that kid has is just.
Well, what's crazy is I work at a music shop here in town.
Yeah,
I've worked there for 11 years, and I've seen him since he was 10, 11 years old coming
just
in the store.
Just in there jamming.
Yeah, just in there jamming. He always came in with his mom. And she would stand there forever while he'd play guitar all day.
I just met. Seriously. I met her at Sandrini's.
That's a good mom, right?
She's awesome.
Oh, she's fucking really cool. I met her at Sandrini's and she walks up. I didn't know who she was. And she's like, hi, thank you. You know, thank you for your service. And Freedom Fest is going to be awesome. I'm like, who are you? And she's like, I'm Will's mom. And I said, oh, man, come in here. Give me a hug. Your son's fucking awesome. Yeah. So the energy between those two bands and then, you know, Il Tiempo getting out there and, you know, they have a unique sound and how they do things. So it's just going to be fun, dude.
This will be what? Third time playing with Il Tiempo? Yeah, third time.
Oh, really?
So, cool, we play with them two times at Timbler.
Oh, Timbler. So what's that place like? I haven't been there because I quit drinking, dude. I have no reason to go unless
it's really dark.
Is it?
Unless you go to see a comedy show.
Yeah, they have really good comedy shows.
And then you can't because the light's fucking right in your eyes.
Oh, really?
We went and saw Brewer.
Oh, right on. Oh, nice. Dude, I wanted to go to that.
It was great.
Have you heard his album? His album he just came out with?
Oh, Joey Diaz is playing there.
I'm
going to go check that out.
He's been here before.
He's coming back?
Yeah, he's coming back. Wait.
He killed it last time.
6-8 months ago?
Oh, yeah, he's coming back.
Yeah,
he's coming back, dude. Timbler, still looking up right now. A worldwide web.
Look it up on get rid of Nick Cage. Same picture, Nick Cage. Nick Cage every
they've
day.
Tried.
We should.
I want that as a screensaver.
You can just take
badass.
His face off.
Hey, we should start a Facebook page of somebody we know and just post the same picture of him
fucking
every
Will
day.
Slicker
everyone
page,
else,
dude.
Will Slicker, the same picture.
Keith Galloway, dude. Oh, they just fucking hair right
Chad,
now. Anyway,
pictures of the vest.
Huh?
Pictures of the vest.
What vest?
Rubbing wrinkle cream.
Of yours?
Dude, we'll put that shit on the moon. We'll put it everywhere, dude. We'll put him out standing out there. Hey, on the moon.
Maybe you're right.
Oh, that guy. I want to see that.
Right. It is easy.
Yeah.
He's on the league.
Oh, look at Tony Hinchcliffe. He's on Joe Rogan all the time.
Yeah. Didn't Ren Azizi have some issues with? There was something like with theft or some.
I got tickets.
Hey, maybe you're right. Maybe the one I was thinking about Joey Diaz did pass.
I thought it was like 2 months ago.
Okay, so I missed it. So
it was great.
Who's Joe Diaz? What does he do?
He's on Joe Rogan's podcast all the time. But he's
big fat guy.
You see the remake of The Longest Yard?
Yeah.
Yes.
Big fat Italian looking dude.
Oh, yeah.
Give me a Pepsi.
Yeah.
Old, looks like he's about to pass out.
He's a
stork. He looks like a bootleg.
I'd know him if I saw him.
Yeah, exactly.
A bootleg version.
Yeah. No, I'm the Sopranos.
Come on.
Last.
We're gonna do a Game of Thrones. You guys watch Game of Thrones?
Oh yeah.
Never once.
You haven't watched it?
Which one?
There's so many good shows, man.
Dude,
it's hard to latch on to all of them.
That shit is fucked up if they kill Tyrion.
Oh, that one.
No, don't be lying,
I have
man.
No
come
idea
on.
What,
that's
you haven't you seen it yet?
No, I've seen it.
Oh.
I don't fucking go on social media, man, on Sundays. I stay the fuck away from social media on Sundays because there's some assholes out there, bro.
Yeah. You know, even an hour later, you got to worry about the East Coast people saying shit. Right.
Twitter, if there's something you don't want to know about, take Twitter and throw that fucking.
I don't even go on Twitter. I probably should, but
Facebook's been pretty, mellow about people not dropping spoilers on. But Twitter.
I don't know, man. Spoilers are pretty rare.
No, I stay off. There's this dude named Merrill Alvarez. You're a buddy of mine, and you're a cocksucker, man. I love you, bro, and you're cool, but. Don't go online because this guy will.
Oh, I did that intentionally when they faked what's his name, Glenn Dying.
Oh yeah,
I dropped that because I had a buddy on way.
You knew he wasn't dead. He's Glenn, man.
I think he's dead now.
I think he's dead now.
I think it's him.
You read the comics?
I think it's.
I mean, I think it's gonna be two.
They got to differentiate the show from the comics somehow.
It's either him or Lincoln.
I mean, Rick only has one hand and he's been castrated.
I
mean,
what I say, Lincoln
back to life because the witch.
Freedom Fest, right?
Abraham.
No, I think it's
gonna be Abraham or fucking. They have to kill off someone big.
It's gotta be Glenn.
It's gonna be Glenn or Abraham. In the comic books, it is Glenn.
See, I don't even care. I stopped watching it 3 years ago, but I just wanted to bust everybody's balls.
You gotta get back on.
No, dude, this last season, it's good. This
well,
last
Glenn
season
died long before Gary was telling me, even before this last season started.
No, Glenn died right.
Vikings.
Yeah, Negan killed him.
His Bat Lucille. That is the most iconic death in the entire.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Brutal.
Oh yeah, yeah. He did tell me about that.
I mean, he bashes the back of. I don't know if. I mean, what do you
no,
mean?
Go ahead.
Oh yeah, he bashes the back of his head.
Spoiled the comic book for me reading it.
And his eye is hanging out, and he's still alive. And he's like, "God damn, boy, you're taking that like a champ." And he's yelling out, screaming out, Maggie, and he's just beating his brains. It's It is the most iconic death in the
Yeah, that's gonna be. And I don't. And then they were real mad that they fucking cut the season off at that point.
Oh my god!
I heard they filmed a death scene for every one of them
because people were like stalking.
Well, maybe that's who Negan beat down.
Like, oh, we saw these people. Yeah.
That's who Negan beat down.
What's that?
Maybe that's who Negan beat down.
Yeah,
Negan's gonna kill.
Negan's a bad motherfucker.
Well, he bashed somebody at the end.
Do you guys like Fear the Walking Dead? Do you guys watch that?
No.
I love that show, dude.
I like it. I did, especially the first season, because the difference... The difference between... Rick waking up and the bodies are already decayed and it's a lot easier to bash brains in. But in Fear of the Walking Dead, it's right when it happens, so the bodies are fresh.
Right.
A lot harder for them to kill. I mean, it's just, I don't know.
I like watching people's reaction to it because, like, when you start seeing shit that's going on right now in Venezuela, you know, it's like, essentially, that's what's happening. Even if you look at...
Terrible.
When you start seeing what's going on in Venezuela, right now, people are starving. There's no food. People are trampling each other. They're dying over food. And then look up here at Lake Isabella, man. You know, lives are changed, and they're just walking around like, what the fuck am I going to do with my life now? You know what I mean? I like that about Fear the Walking Dead because you look at people. Yeah, that's cool. When you look at people and you're like,
realism.
Yeah, the realism behind it. And I love Walking Dead, but Fear the Walking Dead brings it all home, and that's why I like it, dude. That's why I dig it. But
I watched the first couple episodes.
I watched them, but
Grandpa.
It seems like the more we're sitting here talking, it seems like we have better TV shows than we had in the 90s. Mm-hmm. But the music kind of sucks.
And shittier movies.
What now?
Pretty sexy.
Dude, wait a minute. As far as the 90s go.
Fuck no, dude.
Wait, as far as the 90s go, how does Dumb and Dumber hold up?
Oh, it's classic.
It's a classic movie.
But then look at the sequel.
Dumb and Dumber 2.
Yeah.
No. You have to look at it with the 90s perspective. You can't look at it with a modern perspective.
See, that might be the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
That's probably the problem.
You can't expect it to be modern.
No.
Now, were they better, or we just hold them in some kind of nostalgic fashion where it's just more dear to us?
Well, yeah, it's a time in your life.
We can't be objective because it's...
You know, if you listen to music from the 90s, you heard it at a certain time. You can actually relate your childhood or your, you know, teen years or whatever to that song.
Right.
You knew what you were doing the first time you heard it. You know what you were doing when you were watching Headbangers Ball.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
You knew what you were doing when you were watching Dumb and Dumber. You know?
Something stupid.
No,
yeah. Yeah, you were probably doing something stupid, but you were doing something. You know, it's those nostalgic years.
I see what you're saying.
And now you can't really relate to it.
Well, it means more that now, it meant more because you had to fight to get it. And now everything's on demand.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
YouTube, there you go, and you can pull up anything, you know, that's ever been recorded.
Basically. Yeah, you waited and you went to the movies and you saw Independence Day. You loved it. But now it's like...
It fucking stinks. I'll watch it on my Fire Stick, you know.
Well, yeah, exactly, man. I'll watch a freaking cam shot and be satisfied. How is that possible?
Well, you know what it is, man.
Yeah, exactly.
We're like that with action movies. That's probably the problem. And why you say movies suck now is that I think we're kind of getting old with, like, blowing shit up. And I mean, that's cool, but it's like...
No, I'm more about no original ideas. What are we doing? What are our cool movies? Our fucking remade of comic
books
or made in the 60s?
What do we got in 2 weeks? We got a reboot. Reboot of what?
In 2 weeks?
Yeah. Ghostbusters.
No, fuck that,
dude.
Don't
get me fucking started.
Oh, God.
You know, it's. I was looking at movies that should be coming out this year. Looking
at Chicks. Yeah, I know.
Well, Ghostbusters and Banging Chicks is two things that don't go together right now.
But so many reboots that were proposed to come out this year, the next year, it's like, that's all they're doing. Regurgitating just old shit. Regurgitated.
No, that's extremely disappointing. See, I have no problem with rebooting shit. That's fine. If you bring a little bit of the old shit with it. Like, if they would have done Ghostbusters and been like, hey, these fuckers are too old to be hunting ghosts, we need to hire new ones, you know? And
you know what, but hey, they do make a cameo.
Okay, but were they the characters, though? See,
I heard they're not going to be the characters. It's possible that they might not be the characters.
Bill Murray's in the flick. I don't know. We'll see when it comes out.
See that? We
won't see. When
but
it comes
like another good reboot. I like. Let me see, man. What was it?
There's been a bunch of really
Rob Zombie's Halloween. I liked the first one.
Okay, though. Yeah. There you go. But that's Rob Zombie.
I'm gonna be honest. I mean, Halloween 1. I watched it when I was 6 years old. absolutely terrified.
Sure.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
And I have been obsessed with
any of them
ever since.
That's the only motherfucker.
I will say I love Rob Zombie.
Texas Chainsaw reboot was really good.
That was great. That was great.
That was great. I think that also.
Amityville with Ryan Reynolds was good.
The Hills of Ice, the first reboot was really good.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are some.
It was okay. They took that pedophile approach.
Yeah, it was
a little too far.
It was a little much.
Yeah, because
they took any fun out of that movie.
And he was tiny. Like,
yeah, my height.
That was Kelly Leak from the Bad News Bears.
But
yeah,
that was Kelly Leak from the Bad News Bears who was Freddy in the reboot.
Oh, he's tiny.
Who was, what's his name in The Watchmen that I can't think about?
Yeah, he's like me. Yeah, he's my height. He's like 5 foot four and a half, 5 foot five. He's a little dude. But they took that, once they went with the child molestation thing, now you're like, well, wait a minute, what?
Yeah, there's a whole another.
Jeremy's trying to stop this. What should we get back to?
But yeah, you got six dudes in a room. What the hell? You
gonna, sure. No, I just thought you'd never fuck.
I think we got good movies, but the music sucks. And
The movies, the movies are awesome.
Movies are off the chain. How do you not like the movies, though, dude? Randy said
you guys
like
just spent fucking 15 minutes talking about how the movie sucked at all it came out.
No, dude, the movies nowadays are fucking awesome.
Picture quality then. Picture quality is pretty
My TV's better than the fucking screen at the movie theater.
But you would
point.
Think music would, you think music would kind of take the next leap. And, you know, I don't know how much you guys listen to rap or hip hop. And even that sucks, dude. Like,
it's terrible.
There's nothing, it's all, it doesn't make it.
I've never been much of a rap hip hop person myself. But when I was a kid, dude, we had, it's NWA, fucking,
yeah,
you know,
Tupac,
Easy,
right.
Ice Cube, and all this shit.
Well, you listen to it back in the 90s.
It all
had stories.
Tupac,
I mean,
it had
stories.
It was country music with a bass line.
It wasn't popping and clicking and you know doing all that shit.
And they actually had flow.
I got money. I got money.
You know, there was something online with Snoop talking about it, about the you know, whatever.
Yeah. I saw that as a video. It's like a video meme.
Yeah.
Well, the best thing about Attack in the 90s is that every Red Hot Chili Peppers video.
California.
That's the fucking best thing.
I look at the show as like, the way I've been setting it up and the way I have it set in my mind of how we want it to go is to, you know, open up, start, progressively reach a point. And I think with you guys right there in the middle doing that would get everybody in a good mood, get everybody nice and drunk. I'll go up, talk about freedom in America, and then Aviators will kill it, man. So it's going to be
fun.
Well,
that's the thing about the 90s as far as the songs we play is, you know, getting everybody into the room to actually relate to these songs. I mean, that's the big thing. It's like, you know, you harping back to what we were talking about earlier, you knew where you were when you heard that song. And that's what the crowd does. They knew where they were when they heard that song, so they can relate to it. I also play in an 80s band. It's the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we play 80s tunes, and everybody just, you know.
But you get to play party music with an edge this time in the 90s band.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, and it's, you know,
so, but here's
it's more to my age.
Now think about this for a minute.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High shit, dude. I love that fucking
so
movie.
What
yeah. All the music in it.
Yeah, you're like, oh, man,
so
I forgot about this song. I love this song.
So what are people going to do?
I hated the 80s when I was, like, the music, like, when I was a kid, or, like, I pretended to. But then I realized that I have all the Time Life albums, and I will beat anybody's ass in Rock and Roll Jeopardy. I mean, I'm fucking...
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah.
But what are people going to do in 20 years from now when they go to a show and... I mean, there's nothing currently that's going to outlast. I mean, what are they going to play?
Black
currently?
And yellow, black and...
Seriously, think about it. I mean,
fucked
work,
up
work,
the shit
work,
we
work,
play
work,
right now is 20 years old.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
You know, I mean, it's like in the 80s, dude. You're fucking listening to Vietnam music and shit, and you're like, in the 80s...
Well, just think about it. Yeah,
but now you're listening... Yeah.
In the
80s,
you're
going to
listen to 50s
shit. Not Vietnam music. The 60s music. Okay,
it's
let's
crazy,
get that
man.
Right. I'm sorry. But yeah.
I mean, when The Big Chill came out, it's like right the songs from the 60s came out. It's like every 20 years it kind of comes back because you have those people that are in their late 30s or early 40s looking back to those songs. And that's kind of what Jeremy and I are in. I mean, Rico's the youngest one. I don't know why he likes the 90s, but he does.
But you know what?
Fucking awesome, dude.
Yeah, yeah. But he's kind of with the 90s like I am with the 80s. You know, you have those generations that just like those songs. And you hear them and it pops in your head.
I am
with
the 70s.
Well, those are also bands and music that can outlast time. They last through the ages, man. I mean, Rage Against the Machine, people nowadays, like young 18, 19, my daughter's 16. She hit me up. She goes, Dad, Prophets of Rage. Who are these people? And I said, Skylar, you've heard me play them. And now she's listening to Rage Against the Machine. She downloaded all their shit on iTunes. And it's like, because kids nowadays, young kids are like, oh, this fucking, you got Bernie Sanders, Hillary, Trump, all this crazy shit happening in the world. They can listen to a band like Rage Against the Machine and say, no, 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 fuck that. I'm done. You know what I mean? Like, this music actually speaks to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Music now doesn't speak to anybody. Nobody wants to hear 20 years from now about some dude.
It's like the last of the raw dog shit, you know what I mean? Right there, man. It's just it's like the last of like raw music. I could say, you know what I mean? It's
history repeats itself.
But not overproduced, not over fucking. There's too many people involved and all this bullshit. It's like the.
I don't know how much you guys pay attention to the Brexit thing with England leaving the European Union, but the last time the British economy took a fucking dip. You know, punk took over.
We got punked out.
You know what I mean?
And then the time before that was metal, basically.
But, yeah, exactly.
The children of that. That's what me and Preston talked about years ago on the other show, is that we were hoping, like, basically, other than us winning the war, that out of this war, we were going to get the new metal, the new harder sound.
Well, yeah, you had, you know, during the Vietnam War, you had folk.
Right.
The protest songs.
Right, yeah.
Which were really huge. Yeah. And still big to this day.
Mamas and Papas, yeah. Jimi Hendrix. Yeah. You know, I got
since we Bob Dylan. Did, I mean,
Bob Dylan.
9/11 happened. You did have, you had a bunch of American bands that were coming out, Lamb of God, Killswitch Engage, Slipknot, that were blowing up. And you did have the, what they call the new wave of American heavy metal.
It was called new metal, right? That's what they
called. Well, no, new metal, I guess, would be like Korn and Rage.
Yeah,
and
new metal
like
was
that,
already in the process of when that happened.
I mean, there's
that
nothing new metal about
new metal.
Lamb of God.
Yeah. No, I see what you're saying. Yeah, Lamb of God, dude. I get what you're going.
I don't know if that was a direct result of, as say, you know, Hendrix and the Doors were of Vietnam. Right. Or as American punk was a direct result of Reagan being in office, the British punk being a direct result of the, you know, the fall of their economy. But
I hope we're due for something, man.
Yeah, we're due for something.
I'm
for
just
sure.
Like, man, something needs to come out, and I hope I'm on board with it. And it's not something that I'm not the old guy saying, "What the fuck is this?"
Too loud,
you know, or it doesn't make any sense.
Well, there's still a lot of the artists that we enjoy that we like, you know, outside of the alternative that's going on right now, whatever movement that may be. But the stuff that we follow is still coming out. I mean, sure. You know, all those artists Tommy just talked about, you know, the Rage Against
that last Slipknot album, was
the Killswitch,
awesome, dude.
I don't know about Slipknot, but a lot of, you know,
like
Mastodon.
You
a lot of
everybody's got their own opinion again. Yeah.
The new Gojira.
Did you like that last
Gojira? Yeah,
new Gojira.
Oh, God.
Sick.
They're from France,
that was
but they're
cool.
Bad.
What about that new Killswitch? I did like that too.
I haven't heard it yet.
The one before this one, I felt
the
like
one before where they brought dude back.
Yes,
yeah, Jesse.
Yeah,
that was a great album.
I felt like it was new again. And then this new album came out, and it felt like it was the B-side.
That's an exciting band to watch.
Yeah,
you ever seen them live?
Mm-hmm.
They're fun to watch. Yeah, that's a cool band. I like Parkway Drive. You guys like them out of Australia?
Never heard of them.
Yeah.
You never heard
of
them?
If Gary was here, dude, we all would not be talking.
You know what?
But
it's true. Parkway Drive, so what these guys are, they're a bunch of surfers from Australia, and they just started a metal band like 10, 12 years ago, and I started listening to them in 2008. They're pretty badass. They got a lot of screaming, but the vocals are really good as well. The breakdowns are good. It's an amazing band. I love it. It's good shit. So, anyways, where can people find you guys, man? You guys got Rearview Mirror on Facebook.
That's about it.
And then on, but you guys post your events and your shows on there. That's
yeah.
And this Wednesday, so this show will get released on Wednesday. Is it Monday?
Today's
I'm on vacation.
So we're going to release this on Monday. So if you're listening to this today, being Wednesday, they're playing tonight, Wednesday, at where?
At McMurphy's.
At McMurphy's. And what time is that at?
It starts at 9. There's no cover. They do like a Wing Wednesday. It's like $5
okay.
for
Wing Wednesday.
Wing Wing Wing.
It's really good.
Wing Wing Wednesday.
Is that going to be an acoustic set, or is that just bullshit?
It's an MTV Unplugged kind of deal. So we're going to have, you know, drums and acoustic guitars and singing and
cool.
Awesome.
Cool. And then, of course, Freedom Fest. Saturday, 9 p.m., B-Riders, $7 pre-sale. If you need that, get with me. And $8 at the door. You're only saving $1 if you buy it the day of. But raffles, 50-50 raffle is going to be raffled off. APOC Armory is giving a $100 gift certificate for the gun store. Warrior One Yoga giving away some stuff. That beard stuff, some of you guys got beards. They're going to be doing some stuff. Who am I missing, man? Wolf Creek Tattoo and Gallery and Cloud9 Hookah Lounge. Who am I missing?
I don't know.
Feels like I'm missing someone. And then the Pinups for Patriots put some baskets together with like Outback.
Baskets, raffles,
Outback. It's going to be fucking awesome, man. You're going to have merchandise from all the bands. You guys got merchandise, like shirts or anything?
Okay. Nope.
No. Well, songs.
We have songs.
We're covered, man.
But
Jeremy might drop a pick.
It's so all good. I love your guys' logo, though, man. The fucking Jurassic Park.
It's all Rico.
I fucking love it, dude.
Love it.
So it's going to be a fun time.
Check us out. I don't know why you fuckers steal shit from the 90s. And this is bullshit.
Oh, Beavis and Butthead. Yeah. Is that what that is?
It's our logo.
Okay.
We're looking for that cease and assist from
Mike Judge.
I mean, next is going to be the KISS logo. We're going out because Gene will fucking sue us.
Yeah, he will sue you.
So will Lars. So
we don't have enough S's between our names.
We know Lars will.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens, man. So thanks for coming on, guys. Sorry it got hot in here. It was 120 degrees in Bakersfield today. Freedom Fest, Saturday. Woo-hoo. Be there. Batman and Randy Show, out.